You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 28. We are continuing our summer series covering the Flames, Red Wings, Wild, and Lightning. We also will have Mike Augello from the NHL Draft in June talking Toronto Maple Leafs. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to episode 28 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at DPR_show. I am with my co-host Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, hockey is still happening. Have you even taken a break?
Yeah, actually, I managed to spend a little bit of time with the fam, but that's all over now. The World Junior Summer Showcase Selection Tournament thing, that's on. Watched a couple of games on TSN today, so right back at it. And to keep me busy in the meantime, I've been doing a bunch of fantasy drafts. We had our DPFHL draft, and that was a lot of fun. Pretty happy with my guys. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I didn't have as many picks as you did. You had like 15 picks or something ridiculous because all your prize winning picks that we have in our league. But yeah, I'm pretty happy. I got Michael DiPietro. I've been pumping his tires on this podcast for quite some time, and in both my dynasty keeper farm team leagues I got him, so I might have reached for him a little bit in both leagues. I definitely in my 18 team league, but yeah, I got DiPietro, and I'm quite a happy little kid right now because DiPietro, I feel like I'm one of his biggest fans. So, yeah.
Yes.
Anybody that you really reached for and made sure that you had on your team?
I think the listeners will be happy to know that I drafted Petrus Palmu, our boy. Yeah. I got Kingston Frontenac, Emily Rassinen on my roster. So, happy to get a local guy that I've seen a lot. A couple of free agents that I drafted. I like drafting the free agent signees because they're a little bit less shelf time on them, so they don't have to occupy a roster spot for so long if they don't pan out. So guys like Matthew Highmore and Callie Rosen and Neil Pionk, who we talked about, I think, in the last episode from the Rangers, I drafted all those guys. So yeah, in a year, I'll know if they're worth keeping or not, so I don't have to hold on to them for too long.
And you also gave the listeners a one-off defenseman in our draft round 2 through 7, Mikey Anderson. You picked him up at the very second last pick. So, yeah, I thought about taking him in the fifth round of our draft. I would think 5 picks before you, but I went with Alexei Toropchenko instead, and you ended up taking Mikey Anderson. So you are a man of your word, Peter.
Yeah, so Mikey, he doesn't have a lot of like offensive fantasy upside, and he's only really any value in deep keeper leagues. He kind of projects like the Radko Gudas, you know, a lot of hits, a lot of blocks, and so we have a multi-category league. So if he makes it, he'll have some value. So yeah,
excellent. I'm gonna try and target him in my last round of my 18 team league and see how that goes, and maybe take the fruits of your labor and take your word on it. So, yeah, Peter, you want to get right into this? Do you want to start breaking down some teams?
Almost. I think other people who are still doing their drafts, I think they want to know that this week, just the 2 days yesterday, the Dauber Hockey Fantasy Guide came out.
Oh, yes, you're right.
You had a chance to look at it.
Yeah, what do you think? I skimmed through it pretty quickly when it actually came out yesterday. Not right when it came out. It came out at like 3 a.m. or something crazy. Dauber's kind of insane. He puts it out as early as possible. But yeah, I skimmed through it, and I thought it was full of content. I'm definitely looking forward to some downtime and catching up on some reading.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So it comes out in the summer, and the Prospect Report came out not too long ago, so you can, you know, grab a cold one and sit out in your backyard and get ready for your fantasy drafts. So if no one's ever bought it before, the fantasy guide is only $9.99. It's a PDF download. It's got sleeper picks from the East, the West. It's got a review of players from the entry drafts, caller nominees, lots of great articles that are really important for fantasy strategy, like the one-way versus two-way contract, understanding the NHL schedule and how that can influence head-to-head and weekly leagues and all that. Of course, it's got projections and a breakdown of 31 teams and so much more. I mentioned the prospect report. It came out, when did that come out? June?
June 1st, oh. I believe, or June?
That's right.
Yeah, June 1st, I think.
Yeah, so obviously you and I are really big into the prospect report. It's $13.99. You can get them both, the Ultimate Fantasy Package, for only $16.99. So to get those, go to Dauber Hockey. Up on the very top right-hand corner, there's a little button that says Shop. You're going to want to click on that. And it's pretty straightforward from there. You'll thank me later when you win your hockey pool.
Yeah, and don't be upset about it being PDF, because the reason why Dauber does a PDF is he has one up on all the magazines. I remember when I started buying it, I was very disappointed because I like the hard copy. I like having it. I like to carry it around. And I don't have an iPad, and I didn't have a good enough iPhone to really read off of. So I really didn't like the PDF, but the reason why he does that is because he can update it daily. He can update it weekly. He can update it right up until the very first game of the NHL, where the magazines are so late. They come out middle of August, and they're already useless by the August 20th. So, yeah, he definitely has a one-up on the magazines and the hard copy stuff. So PDF isn't that bad. Just get yourself an iPad or a computer or read it off your phone, and yeah, it'll be good to go.
If you're really hard pressed on the hard copy, just buy the PDF and print it.
True, but then that's a lot of printing if he's sending out updates. But a lot of the updates are just one or two little things. He tries to keep it just an update a week at the beginning when there's lots of stuff coming out. But he does an excellent job with it.
Print it once in late September, early October. Print it at work.
Yeah, good thinking.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some teams. Let's start off with you. You got a couple Western Conference teams. The Calgary Flames are an interesting team. They've been kind of on the rise a little bit. So let's talk about some of their prospects that they have coming that are on the brink of making it to the team. And I think their number one prospect is probably Mark Jankowski. Do you think he's going to make the Flames this year?
I don't think he's going to be full time with the Flames this year. I think he's going to play his way from Stockton from the AHL to make the NHL, but I think he'll get like maybe two dozen games, like 24, 25 games. He won't really be fantasy relevant for his first year. I don't think he's going to be a knockout Calder candidate or anything like that, but midway through the year, he definitely should be looked at and maybe picked up for your fantasy team.
Okay. He's available widely on Fantrax or?
65%. So it seems like a high number, but there's a lot of other prospects that are much higher. They're up into the 80s. So Jankowski is still available quite a bit in most leagues.
Yeah. For a guy that's on the brink of making it to the NHL, that's pretty low. Their number one defenseman is arguably Rasmus Anderson. I saw him play a lot in the OHL. Kid can score or create offense. There's no question about that. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to make the Flames roster out of camp. His biggest competition for that bottom spot is Bartkowski is the number six right now. So he definitely can outshine him in a short time in training camp and maybe preseason. So Rasmus Anderson is 59% owned and should be one of your lower end, maybe a fourth defenseman or a fifth defenseman on your roster.
Yeah, Oliver Shillington could compete with him as well. But if Anderson graduates, then that leaves Shillington to inherit the number one position in Stockton. And that would be a good thing for Calgary for both those players' developments, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to forwards. Any other forwards you have earmarked for potential?
Recently signed Spencer Fu. He just graduated college and signed with the Flames. He actually was invited last year to their camp, and he must have put a good word out to him, and management must have liked him because they ended up signing him this year. So he's a high priority to get on your roster. I think he's got to be drafted in most of the draft eligible guys, if you do just 2017 draftees and signings. So I think Spencer Fu's got to be up there. In the DPFHL, he was drafted 22nd overall, so that would be probably a second round guy to most leagues if you got less than 20. And then in my 18-team roster, we're at pick 25, and he still hasn't been picked. My next pick's in the third round, 52. So I'm hoping he makes it there, and I definitely will take him at 52 because he should not drop that low, but it likely won't happen. And Spencer Fu is dual-eligible, center, right wing, 57% owned on Fantrax. So that might change. Fantrax does like to update their positions closer to the season, but Spencer Fu, dual-eligible, I'm all over it.
We'll have to post this episode after you make your pick. Hopefully he makes it.
I hope so.
Yeah, he had a breakout fourth year in the NCAA as a senior. So he had a decent offensive production in his first few years, and then a really nice senior year. What about Morgan Klimchuk?
I think he's going to make the team. He'll probably be in a third or fourth line role, which isn't going to help him fantasy-wise. If he doesn't get scoring line minutes, he isn't worth having in fantasy. The Flames have a lot of small wingers, and he's one. I think he's 5'11 and 170 pounds. He hasn't shown much in the AHL. 9 points in 55 games his first year in the AHL, and then kind of raised the bar a little bit, 43 in 66 games last year. But I think he's going to spend another year in Stockton if he doesn't get that scoring line role. You don't want him as a third or fourth liner, that's for sure.
So if he's not able to find his offensive production in the AHL, do you think he still has an opportunity to make it to the NHL as a fourth liner, or will there be other prospects that'll just pass him by on their way?
I think there'll be guys that pass him by on the way that are more fit for third and fourth line. He's not really a bangers and mash like you like to say, but he needs that scoring line minutes to be relevant. And if they don't have a spot for him, then yeah, Klimchuk's going to be hard passed by a lot of the other, like Jankowski and maybe even Dylan Dubé and for sure Spencer Fu. So Klimchuk's going to be in tough.
All right. So let's move on from Calgary. Let's do your other Western Conference team, Minnesota Wild. So this is a team that I think has got some of the higher end prospects in the NHL. So let's start near the top of their list. Joel Eriksson Ek. What's the status with him?
He was so close to making the team last year at a training camp, and they sent him back, I think, like 14 games. They ended up sending him. I think he went back to Sweden. But he's a lock to make the Minnesota Wild this year. Their four guys are going to be Staal, Granlund, Koivu, and Eriksson Ek. And I'm not really sure who's going to be a third and fourth line. Koivu, probably third line. Maybe Eriksson Ek will get fourth line minutes, but I think they're going to kind of round out the entire roster and maybe change the way 1, 2, 3, 4 lines work and kind of give everybody partial minutes across the board. So I think Eriksson Ek's going to be, he's going to be hard to pick up in Fantrax. 91% owned. He's a centerman, so there usually is centerman drafted over any other position just because they're such point getters. But Eriksson Ek is a guy that you want to target as a trade target if you can.
Yeah, I think maybe arguably their player with the best fantasy upside, it could still be in the KHL for another year or two, is Kirill Kaprizov. What are your notes on him?
Yeah, I think he has a long shot to make it out of camp if he does go, attend training camp. But if he does, he should be put on a scoring line. And as a left winger with those four centermen that we just named, Kirill Kaprizov could find chemistry with any one of those guys. And yeah, he's a scoring threat, so he's definitely fantasy relevant. He's 85% owned, so a lot of these Minnesota Wild guys, like I said, a lot more prospects are a higher owned percentage than the Calgary guys that we named. So these guys are definitely owned and kept on farm teams and prospect benches and stuff like that. So these guys you probably won't get off the waiver wire or free agency, so you'll have to trade target. But the guys we're naming, you definitely want to try and pick up before they get hot.
Yeah, Kaprizov is under contract in the KHL for at least next season, if not the season after as well. So there's no chance he makes the Wild at any point this year. But he's so good that he's worth holding on to and stashing on your prospect roster for a few years, because when he comes, he'll be worth the wait.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. What about Luke Cunning?
Luke Cunning, he's also 85% owned. So these wild guys are not going to be on the free agency. It's in tough for picking up wild prospects, but he's probably going to be a first call up when an injury occurs, especially if it's a scoring line. He's got to fill in for Granlund, Staal, Koivu. Even if Eriksson Ek gets hurt, Luke Cunning will definitely be a first call up.
All right. And gold medal winning Jordan Greenway. Watched him play today for USA against Sweden or Finland. I can't remember who Canada and USA played. But man, that guy's big and he's good. And
yeah.
He's going to have an impact in Roto or multi-cat leagues too.
Yeah, my first point is peripheral stat guy. This guy's going to pick up a lot of your non-scoring stats if you have them in your league. And I wouldn't expect him to be in the Wild lineup until next year, but he has an NHL body. He will suit up for Wild very soon. He's definitely going to be an NHLer, and he definitely made a name for himself at the World Juniors last year. He was kind of in the dark guy, and now he's just kind of lit it up in the World Juniors. The Summer Showcase, he's playing excellent. He's 76% owned, left winger, and yeah, he's a guy you should target as well.
Yeah, his value is certainly higher in multi-cat leagues. I don't think he's going to light the lamp a lot in the NHL. He'll be a good net front presence. Put him in front of the net for a screen on the power play. The guy's a monster, so it'll be hard to move. Let's talk about some D. Mike Riley, this is a guy that had a lot of fanfare when he signed as a free agent. What's the status on him? He's kind of gone a little bit cold.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't shown his offensive side in quite a long time, and it's kind of hampering him making the Wild. He's in tough against Gustav Olofsson, which I think I'd rather have Olofsson over Riley right now. 38% owned Olofsson over 59% owned Riley. There's one D-man spot left for the Wild. They have Kyle Quincy that they picked up, and I think they'll be fighting with him for a spot. I think Olofsson's going to steal it from Riley. Riley seemed like the lead runner for the last D-man spot, and Olofsson's kind of snuck in and outplayed him last year in the AHL, and he might have the upper hand already.
All right. Anyone else from Minnesota?
No, those are their probably top six, five, six guys. So the Wild, you're definitely, like I said, you're definitely not going to get them off the free agency. They're way too highly owned in fan tracks, but if you can target any of those guys through a trade, I would for sure do it. I wish I had Eriksson Ek on pretty much every team.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Alex Tuck to Vegas, and they still have a pretty stocked prospect covered. Louis Belpedo is maybe a defenseman that they have that might be worth keeping an eye on, put him on your watch list.
Yeah, Peter, I want to mention 31 and 31. We have finished the July 31 and 31 draft previews for each team on DauberProspects.com, but we're going again 31 and 31 August depth chart and summer editions. Our writers are keeping themselves busy. We're going to go from A to Z. Well, there is no Z, but W. So Calgary is going to be posted on the 11th, and Minnesota will be posted on the 15th of August. And check in every day. There's a new team up alphabetically. We're going in order. We might skip one or two. We try not to, because we want to keep the alphabetical order proper, but sometimes writers are busy, sometimes their computers fail and they didn't hit the save button. We all know how that is, but keep in touch on the DauberProspects.com for the 31 and 31 August edition.
Yeah, those articles are really great for fantasy research. The July one tells you all about the teams and the players that they got out of the NHL draft, and has some development camp notes. Development camp notes are always interesting. Glean some information as to who might be closer than you thought. And then the August ones are really even more relevant for fantasy hockey, because it talks about who the team's top 10 prospects are. We do a team prospect depth chart, so you can see where we think they rank in terms of their position, and who are players that are graduating from junior and turning pro, and where some players that are playing pro that might be ready to make the cut in the NHL. So really, 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 really good information for your fantasy hockey research. So check them out. Keep coming back. Tell all your friends.
All right, Peter, let's head to break. We've finished the Western Conference Summer Series for this episode. Let's hit up the Eastern Conference next. You got two teams on the brink. All right, it's time for the Eastern Conference side of things. We're going to do Detroit and Tampa Bay. Let's start with Detroit. Peter, you really dove deep into finding out some prospects that might be fantasy relevant. Let's get right off the bat with Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about him on some previous episodes, specifically the one after the Calder Cup where we had the Kukla's Corner writer come on and talk to us all about it. So Tyler Bertuzzi is a player that I'm really fond of. I've liked him since he was with Guelph. He's a playoff performer, one of those guys that raises his game. He's got such a high compete level. He was, in fact, his 19 points won him the Calder Cup MVP with Grand Rapids. He is 58% owned on Fantrax, so his ownership is a little high, but this is a player I think is going to make the NHL full-time starting in this season. He started there last year, and then he had an injury and was sent back down to Grand Rapids after he came back from his injury and never really came back. So he's another player that's really good for bangers and mash leagues. He gives you lots of points, he gets you lots of hits, he gets you lots of penalty minutes. His in the Dauber prospect or Dauber fantasy report, Dauber also thinks he's gonna play in the NHL. He gets him down for 24 points and 42 penalty minutes, which isn't too bad for a rookie. So that's definitely a player I think is a little bit under the radar and you're gonna want to look for.
Yeah, do you think he'll be kind of that pest, like second line, third line pest that drives teams crazy? Do you think he's going to grow into a role like that, or do you think he's going to be a scorer?
Yeah, he's a little bit undersized, so you know, he's never going to get you 100 or 200 penalty minutes. He's not a tough guy, but he's more like a Brad Marchand. I think that's a really good comparison. He's got that sort of offensive upside, Brendan Gallagher, that type of player. You know, when he's on your team, you love him, and the rest of the world hates his guts.
Yeah, you compared him to Marchand, my eyebrows raised like, whoa, Marchand. But I think Marchand, before he blew up after the World Cup and kind of went off scoring like crazy. But I would say more Brendan Gallagher. I don't think he has that huge offensive upside that Marchand is now showing. But like Marchand's taken years to figure that out, and he's playing with a pretty solid centerman in Bergeron. So if Bertuzzi can find a centerman to play with, then maybe he can mature like Marchand and figure out how to put the puck in the net, and who knows what could happen. But Bertuzzi is a guy to keep an eye out for. Who else on the forward side of things?
I actually have a couple defense that I'm really keen on. Nick Jensen is a player who I just kind of recently stumbled across. I didn't really know anything about this guy until recently. So and Detroit really loves him too. So he's come out of college hockey. So he's 26 years old already. But he started playing full-time in the NHL last year. He's 49 games played. He had 13 points. He's only 33% owned on Fantrax. And Detroit loves this guy. They had a bit of a logjam with defensemen last year, and someone had to go on waivers, and they chose to put Alexei Marchenko on waivers, and he was claimed by Toronto. And then they had a decision to make when it came to the expansion draft, because he qualified for exposure in the expansion draft, and they chose to put him on their protection list ahead of some other players that might raise some eyebrows. So the Red Wings are a real big fan of this guy. 13 points in 49 games last year. He had 55 hits, 56 blocked shots. So he's more of a defensive defenseman, not a lot of peripheral value, but there's a little bit of both there. And if you're in a cap league, he'll be a good value for your money. And if you're looking at a player like Nick Jensen, you're in a deep, deep league. So then he does become quite valuable. And the Dauber guide projected him for 22 points in a full season with 84 blocks and 83 hits. So a nice happy blend, bottom six pairing in your fantasy roster. That's pretty good value for a guy that'll be making around $1 million or whatever.
Yeah, and he's only 33% owned in Fantrax, so the ownership is pretty low on him, and the reason for it is he's a deeper league guy, so a lot of the smaller leagues aren't going to need a Nick Jensen on their team. What about another defenseman?
Okay, I've pumped this guy's tires a little bit before, but I got to do it again. Ville Sarjärvi. He's 49% owned on Fantrax now, so if I'm not mistaken, that number's creeping up. He's a little guy. He's only 5'10", 172, but he's finished his junior eligibility. He's turned 20. He's going pro. He's had a really good development camp, and I saw a quote where Ken Holland was talking about him, and he was saying he was one of the absolute best players, and they were really impressed, and they're really happy with his performance, but they were quick to point out that, and I also hope he has a really great season next year in Grand Rapids. So there's not much chance of Sarjärvi playing in the NHL this year. So if you're looking to add him on your roster, and I strongly recommend that you do, you're going to have to wait a little bit. But when he makes it, he'll be an offensive defenseman. Like I said before on an earlier episode, I went to a playoff game to watch Mississauga play, and they had power play, and it ran through Sarjärvi, and they had some pretty high-profile players. He's on the point with Nick Hag, and it was all Sarjärvi controlling the play and distributing the puck, and to guys like Mikey McLeod up front. So I'm a really big fan of this kid.
All right, and the Red Wings need that power play quarterback. They don't really have anybody really in the ranks, do they?
Nah. Robbie Russo, maybe. Joe Hicketts is not really a power play quarterback. Dennis Cholowski is another interesting player. He's a first-round pick of the Red Wings last year. He was committed to the NCAA, and he's leaving school, so it's not determined yet that I know of where he'll play. He could either play in junior hockey, and his rights are owned in the WHL, or because he's never played in CHL before, he's eligible to play in the AHL. So I guess it'll come down to how well he does at training camp, and the Red Wings will decide if they want to burn a year of his ELC contract status and play him in pro hockey, or slide him in junior for another year. And they've got some forward prospects that are really interesting to watch too. Svechnikov, of course, Holmstrom, Martin Furk, Giovanni Smith. Those are all players that I think have really good opportunities to get at least a cup of coffee in the NHL this year. And players that you want to watch their development and see how they progress.
All right, excellent. And their 31-31 will be posted August 11th on DauberProspects.com. That's Detroit on August 11th. Again, it'll be alphabetical order, so it could change by one or two days. It's not written in stone, but we try our best. All right, let's move on to Tampa Bay Lightning. Where do you want to start with all the World Junior Canadian forwards, basically a full line? Full forward line?
Yeah. So what I find really, really interesting about Tampa right now is they have a lot of high-end prospects who are graduating from junior hockey and will be turning pro. So Syracuse is a team that I'm going to be really interested to watch, and hopefully I can go to a couple of live games. They're in the division that I live in, so I should be able to catch them in Belleville and Toronto a little bit this year. So I'm talking about Matthew Joseph, Anthony Cirelli, Mitchell Stevens in particular. And these players are all low ownership on Fantrax. Matthew Joseph is 38%. Anthony Cirelli's 51%. Mitchell Stevens is only 36%. And there's a lot of common underlying themes to these players. They're all very versatile. They can play multiple forward positions, and you can play them in multiple situations. So they're not first line or bust. I think they're all character players, so that the team will be happy to have them on their roster. I think they're really coachable and dependable players. You can play them in any situation, which should ensure that they'll get quality ice time on a regular shift and special teams on both sides. And they're all like clutch goal scorers too. We saw it with Joseph. At the World Juniors, he scored a couple of really big goals for Canada when they really needed it. And in St. John's in the playoffs, he was the leading scorer. And he scored some really big goals there. Anthony Cirelli, of course, scored the Memorial Cup overtime game-winning goal. Hard to forget that, right? And they all have leadership. And they all have offensive upside. Joseph had 80 points last year in just over 50 games. Cirelli had about 60 points in about 50 games, and Stevens had about 50 points in 50 games. So they're all really comparable players. They'll get you probably some face-off wins, even if they're multi-positional eligible on the wing. They'll probably take a couple of draws. At least they have the upside for that. So these are some players that I think, because they're widely available and they're turning pros, so the wait time on them would be like 1, maybe 2 years, and then you should have a really good idea of where they project with Tampa going forward.
Nice. And then there's another kid that kind of lit it up at the end of the year, Yanni Gourde. Where did this kid come from?
Yeah, so because they have all these players graduating from junior to pro, you noticed that last year Tampa had a lot of players who I thought were like AHL journeyman type guys. I'm talking about Yanni Gourde, Michael Bournemouth, Corey Conacher, Eric Conacher, Joel Vermeen, Byron Fraze, time again. Not really blue chip prospect here. Adam Ernie was at one point a high end prospect, but I'm kind of losing faith in him a little bit. I think these guys that are coming up are going to blow by him. So I think most of these guys will be gone, or a fair number of them won't be back in Syracuse because you're going to have to make room for the kids. But it was interesting that Tampa Bay gave Yanni Gourde a nice contract. It's a two-way. He's 5'9", 172 pounds. He's not old. He's only 25. So he's the kind of player that if Tampa Bay needs to call someone up, these kids probably won't be ready if they need a call up in, you know, October or November. They're just going to be cutting their teeth in the pro, but Yanni Gourde, he'll be there. He might even make the team. There's a possibility of that. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it'll really depend on what kind of injury. If they have like another Stamkos long-term, high-end, high-minutes injury, then maybe they call up one of the young guys that looked ready coming out of camp and you didn't want to put them into the fire. Maybe they get their 9-game tryout and then they look good from there, and maybe Cirelli or Stevens or Joseph can fill the Stamkos role a little bit, where Yanni Gourde definitely will not. But if there's a low-end third or fourth line, Yanni Gourde's going to be one of the first called up for sure.
Yeah, him or Matt Pekka.
All right, perfect. And then their big acquisition, they moved out Jonathan Drouin and brought in Mikhail Sergachev. So let's talk some Sergachev as a Tampa Bay Lightning. Where does his stock go?
I think it goes up and down. And the up is, I think Tampa is a better team than Montreal. So, I mean, he's going to be playing the power play, and he'll have guys like Stamkos and Johnson and Kucherov and Victor Hedman to play with. In Montreal, he wouldn't have had that same firepower to work with. On the downside, I think Tampa Bay is going to be quite prepared to play it slow on him. He might go back to junior next year. It's junior NHL for him, but the Dauber fantasy guide, Dauber has him down for 70 games played, second power play unit, and 27 points. That's pretty good for a rookie defenseman. I think he's totally worth the gamble. His Fantrax ownership is going to be a little bit high, but if you have the opportunity to pick up Sergachev, don't look twice.
Yeah, especially if they don't put him on the Lightning coming out of camp, and he falls back into the AHL. Is he eligible for the AHL, or does he have to go back to junior?
Junior or NHL.
Wow, okay, so I guess that defeats my point. I was just thinking if there is a low point in Sergachev that maybe you can buy low on him, and because right now he's being expected to do absolutely tremendous things, and I just don't think he's going to get the power play minutes like people think he's going to, or like he was going to get in Montreal, and that might be a small little issue, but he will grow into a power play role, that's for sure. Tampa Bay might have to change up their idea of their power play. I know they're usually a 1-4 kind of power play, but maybe they'll go 2-3 now with two defensemen on the point and Sergachev and Hedman would be a good 1-2 punch on the back end.
Even if Sergachev gets second fiddle unit time, I mean, he's still going to be playing with guys like Braden Point.
Palat.
Yeah, maybe. Kaloran, Domestikov. Not bad.
Yeah, they have some pretty high-end talent on their high side of things. Their top six are pretty good roster guys. So, yeah, Sergachev won't be hurting there.
That's right. Yeah, no, Tampa Bay is, they've been drafting very, very well, and they take their time developing their players. So there's certain teams that I look for opportunities to get prospects from, and Tampa Bay is one of them. Here's another defenseman that I think is way under the radar. This kid's only 8% owned, and his name is Ben Thomas. So he's, from my opinion, he's Tampa Bay's most improved defensive prospect last year. The acquisition of Sergachev certainly knocks him down a little bit, but he was Syracuse's top defense pairing last season with Matt Taramina, who is a career AHLer, ahead of guys like Slater Cuckoo and Dominic Machine. So he's a 21-year-old, he's 6'2", 181 pounds. In the AHL last year, his first year as a rookie, 71 games, he put up 21 points. I think he's a prospect on the rise who you can get really good sneaky value with if you're in a semi-deep league. I'm not saying he's going to make Tampa Bay this year. If Sergachev goes back to junior, then I think you absolutely want to maybe take Ben Thomas off your watch list and acquire him as a free agent or a waiver claim if you can in a deep league, because that really opens the door for him.
Yeah, I had no idea about Ben Thomas. That's a very good pickup. I'm putting him on my watch list on both my teams. I don't know where he is in DPFHL. If he's only 8% owned, then it's highly unlikely that he will be available in all my leagues. Is there anybody else? Go ahead.
Not after the waiver claim processes.
Oh, interesting. Which is a 48-hour period from our end of draft, which if you follow us on Twitter, we are done our draft. Now we are about to make our waiver claim. So, yeah, interesting times in the DPFHL. Anybody else in the Lightning organization that you might want to throw out? Any other Ben Thomases?
No, Matt Pekka and Dominic Machine. I like those guys, but talked about them a little bit before. So, but that's it. Yep.
All right, perfect. The 31 and 31 will be posted August 26th, so near the end of the month. There will probably have an episode. Well, we will have an episode much before then. Yeah. All right, Peter. Thanks for breaking down the Eastern Conference, Detroit and Tampa Bay. When we come back from the break, we're going to catch up with, well, you did catch up with Mike Ajello from the NHL draft floor. Yeah, we're going to have a listen to that.
Yeah. I talked to Mike, and some of the players we talked about are the Swedish free agents, Callie Rosen, Andreas Borgman. You're certainly going to want to look them up. Rosen's only 19% owned, and Bergman's only 21% owned. Andreas Johnsson, Sami Kapanen, Carl Grundstrom, Travis Dermott. Those are all some of the prospects we talked about. One guy we didn't, I don't think, hit on that I kind of wanted to slip in here on the radar is Miro Altonen. He's an undrafted free agent player that the Leafs just signed recently. And he's only 26% Fantrax owned. He's 24 years old. He's a little undersized at 5'11", but that doesn't matter in the NHL anymore. Comes from the KHL. Played there last year. 59 games, 44 points. And so this is a player I think has a really legitimate chance of playing in the NHL. Might play a little bit in the AHL, but I think he's going to play kind of a bit of both. And the Leafs have a logjam of forwards. They've got just a ton of options to roll with. But it's my understanding that the organization really, really likes this guy. The Dauber Fantasy Report put him down for 38 games played and 19 points. So for a player that's pretty unowned in Fantrax, you can probably get for free, that's not a bad ad.
Excellent. All right. Ben Thomas and Miro Altonen are your sleeper picks from Peter so far. All right, when we get back from the break, we're going to hear from Peter Harling interviewing Mike Ajello.
come on. Oh, baby, don't you wanna go? Come on. Oh, baby, don't you wanna go? Back to that same old place, sweet home, Chicago. 6 and 3 is 9. 9 and 9 is 18. Look that brother, baby, and I'll see what I see. Howdy, hey, baby, don't you wanna go back to that same old place, sweet home, Chicago.
All right, at the draft, round 6, getting caught up with some Leafs prospects talk with Hockey Buzz writer Mike Ajello, also known as Mike from Buffalo. Mike, how's it going, buddy? You enjoying the draft?
It's going pretty quickly. The second day is always a race to, I think most of these teams, they want to get their picks and get the hell out of here, and that's, you know, the pace of the draft has really been going like that.
It is a feverish pace for sure. Okay, let's talk some Leafs picks. Right off the top, Timothy Liljegren, I thought he fell down a little bit, and I would almost even say that the Leafs got a lottery pick at 17 overall. Yeah. What's your take on this pick?
I think the Leafs hit a home run. They really lucked out in the sense that if you look at the top end of the first round, after number 4, after Makar went to, I think it was Colorado at 4, there were 9 straight forwards picked. And that fed right into what I thought the Leafs were going to do, was pick the best available defenseman. And then the defenseman started going at 14. And they ended up with Liljegren, who, if you ask Mark Hunter, he was like shocked that he was going to be there, that he was there at 17. After the year that he had before last year, he was projected to be a top 2 or 3 pick with his skill, with his offensive upside, his skating ability. But he had a bad year. He had mono early in the year, didn't make the Team Sweden's World Junior team. And from the reaction from the Leafs, they're ecstatic that they got him at 17. I think it's a fantastic pick for them.
Yeah, we focus on fantasy hockey. So, I mean, that's the strength of Liljegren's game as well. He's a really good offensive player, takes risks, good skater. I can just really looking forward to him getting the puck and moving it up to Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander and just racking up the points.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter said that he's like that new NHL defenseman. And that's the model that they're following now, guys who can jump into the play. I mean, he emulates Erik Karlsson. Nobody's going to be Erik Karlsson because he's one of the best players in the world. But if he's anything close to Erik Karlsson, the Leafs will be ecstatic. I mean, they want these offensive defensemen who can skate like the wind and push the play. And goals, you know, that's goals and goal scoring and creating offense is where it is right now.
Then they hit a couple more D later on in the draft, a couple of really big guys. Emily Rassinen from Kingston Frontenacs, who I know real well. Fedor Gordiev from Flint, who I was really impressed with the one game he came through. Those guys are a few years away, though, so let's kind of just gloss over them. They did sign a couple other Swedes to play defense, a couple overager free agent guys. And we had Jimmy Hamrin from McKean's Hockey come on and talk to us, and he really thinks that both of them have the ability to play in the NHL as soon as this year. They're probably not both going to because of number of jobs available, but what's your take on the Swedish defenseman that the Leafs now own?
Well, I mean, Kali Rosen, I mean, what you heard about him is, again, skating, good offensive upside. I heard, you know, durability was one of his big question marks, and that, you know, we'll see if what's the case there. I mean, I think personally the Leafs are still going to make some sort of move between now and the start of training camp to bring in an NHL level defenseman and solidify their top 4. If they can't do that, then guys like Rosen and Andreas Borgman, who's the other guy that they signed, may have a good chance to crack the opening night roster. Borgman was a SHL Rookie of the Year, only 21 years old, so he's relatively young for an undrafted free agent signing, and has an upside. They both have upsides, but I think what's going to happen with that group of Swedes that the Leafs have down in the AHL with the Marlies, with Timo Shaw and Janssen, you're going to develop sort of like, you know, you're going to have all those players playing together, you know, feeding off of each other, and maybe, you know, that will get them moving up later, maybe later in the year. But it's going to be tough for them to crack the opening night lineup with the Leafs. I think, you know, Babcock laces veteran guys, and you might see them re-sign like Matt Hunwick or make a trade, and it's going to be tough for unproven rookies coming from Europe to crack the lineup right away.
Yeah, last season they graduated like all of their top prospects. Did they deplete the reserves, or is there anyone left? They lost Leipzig in expansion, so that hurt. Is there anyone left that can be a rookie on the roster next year?
I think Travis Dermott will get a legitimate shot to be on the roster. If he's going to play bottom pairing, then I think he'll stay with the Marlies because they want him to play a lot, play power play, play 20 minutes a night. If he can crack the top four, then he makes the team. But other guys, I think Andreas Janssen has a good chance of making the Leafs simply because he's an offensive guy. He won the SHL Rookie of the Year a couple years ago. He had 3 good years in Sweden. He comes over. It doesn't take him long to adjust to North America. He scores 20 goals during the season with the Marlies. He played really well in the playoffs. If they move a James Van Riemsdyk or move a winger, and they need offense on the left side, I think Janssen could be the guy. So Janssen and Dermott, I think, have the best chance.
Yeah, I agree with your take on Janssen. I noticed some marked improvement in the second half of the season from his first half. That was evident. All right. Thanks for your time, Mike.
My pleasure.
And where can we find your stuff, bud?
Mike in Buffalo on Twitter, and just check hockeybuzz.com. And if you see the Leaf emblem, that's my column.
Right on, buddy.
Thanks, Peter, for the interview from the NHL draft floor, and Mike Agello for taking a few minutes to catch up with us at Dauber Prospects Radio. We also can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much a few great reviews will do for our listenership. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. You can also follow our personal accounts at Zwambag, Zwambag, and at pharling, PHARLING. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.